Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm honored to bring you mages, sages, and seers. Our guest tonight is Maria D'Andrea, who's an awesome individual. But before I bring in Maria, I'd like to say that Maria's been a guest on my shows for very many years, and I'm very glad to have had her on Mages, Sages, and Seers for a few years. And now I think it's time for Maria to have her own show, which she can call whatever she likes and structure however she likes. What do you think of that, Maria?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show again. You are just so kind. You really are.
You are just so awesome. So how is everything?
Wonderful. How was your holiday?
My holiday was great. My wife's birthday is a week after Valentine's Day. So we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day and her birthday together. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's so nice. She's such a nice person. You know, yes. We don't meet a lot of people from the heart, but when we do, we really appreciate it.
That is very, very true. And today you're going to show us how to get rid of stress, which is awesome because we live in a world that seems to provoke stress.
Well, I find that it's really funny. I have a wonderful client because, you know, I've been in the spiritual, psychic, paranormal fields full-time since I'm 16. So
yes.
Some of the clients I've had have been wonderful, wonderful. But it was funny. I had a gentleman a little while ago, and he's a businessman. And the reason I'm saying it because you'll see how it correlates. So what happened was he's really working on some deals. They're going to be really, really good. There was nothing negative in it. And he was actually stressed about being stressed.
I can understand
that. You
can't
make that stuff up. Yeah, you know, it's like
a lot of people are stressed about being stressed. That seems a very common thing.
I know. Well, you know, we have so much going on normally. And now a little bit more so, you know, so we all need to be able to take a little bit of a break. And I find people really misunderstand meditation, and that's a wonderful way to de-stress. And people always think the only way you're going to meditate is you're going to sit in a little space, and you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to breathe, and it'll put you into meditation. And that doesn't really work like that. Meditation basically is the link between man and spirit, as of course you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing meditation, it tones down stress, but what it also does is it puts you into a direct link with divine power. Now, I like to say divine power because you know how you and I are, being that I'm a shaman and I'm interfaith ministry. However, I always say when I'm talking about divine power, I use God. I always say to people, you have to use your own word or it does not connect to you. You know,
right.
I have friends that are Native Americans and they do Mother Earth, Father Sky. Even though I'm using divine power, anytime I say that, I always tell students, use your own word so it resonates and connects to you. Otherwise, it really doesn't. I actually have a book on how to eliminate stress and anxiety through the occult.
Before you proceed with that, you have over 65 books. So you've done a respectable amount of book writing.
I've been doing this for a little while.
For a little while, yes.
I find that there are different techniques that I can teach when I don't even meet people. And that's why you and I like to teach, whether it's at a distance, put people coming over, whether we're working out of a center or anywhere else at that moment. And that's why I write, because there's so many different techniques that just don't occur to people. And then, you know, with the book or just talking to me, they can choose something that resonates to them. So as an example, they can use crystals, herbs, oils, visualization, prayer, chakras, incense, candles, music. It's like the list just goes on. You just have to look at what helps you go into a meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as an example, some people use the biofeedback machine, and all that does is monitor your stress level, and then it helps you get used to mentally hearing the sound and consciously toning it down so that you get rid of stress. So it's training you to control your stress. Okay, so it's literally a feedback because it gives you feedback on where you are, and that could be through sounds, lights, numbers, whatever that particular machine is. However, I find what people don't think of is that there is positive stress, which you and I know about, but when we say stress, people always go towards the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at positive stress like sometimes if somebody is at a job and they really want to do better, they get a little bit anxious about how they're going to do, and sometimes that anxiety helps them to do better and to do a better job because now they're trying harder or differently. Or if somebody is on stage and they're waiting for the curtain to go up at the theater, okay, before they go on stage, they're going to be a little bit more stressful, and sometimes it actually helps them perform better. So all stress isn't negative, you know, which, of course, I know you're aware of.
Yeah, that's very true because I lift weights. Basically, with weightlifting, it's stress. You're stressing your muscles. You're stressing your mind. You know, because you don't want the weights to fall on you and injure you.
Right.
So you're really focused and you're dealing with stress, but you're using the stress to make yourself stronger.
Right. So it really depends on what we're trying to achieve. And first of all, I teach a technique that actually is not in my book because it's something I have to do with people, whether it's over the phone or in person or some other situation. You know, where basically we're getting direct information by tuning directly into our source. What happens in the book, as an example, is I put in so many different techniques that you're going to find something that resonates to you so that you can actually do this. Now, I find a lot of times people will ask me, well, why can't I just put like one technique? And you're the same way I am. Everybody's different. And somebody, as an example, may decide that they like to focus on, say, stone that will help them go more into meditation. By the way, that stone would be selenite. Selenite is good for that. Okay. But say a month later, a year later, they outgrew that phase in their lives, and now they want to do something like incense to put them into that meditative state, and that is more rose incense. So this way, if you know what you're dealing with and how to achieve that level, a lot of it, it's really just technique. People always look at everything as being very, very difficult. And, you know, some things are, right, as you and I know. But there are some things where basically if you know the technique and you also teach. So I love when you teach because you only teach positive. You're always out there trying to help people. And that's very impressive because we need more of you out there.
As do you, Maria. So we need more of you out there as well.
So some things I can't teach except the direct method, but there's always something you can do. What I always suggest, and I know you do the same thing, is before you do anything such as meditation, I would always suggest to do some form of psychic self-defense, some kind of protection. Now, even though you and I teach psychic self-defense so people can call us. What you can also do is you can use an herb for protection such as mint or basil, which is in everybody's kitchen, rosemary, which is in a lot of kitchens, or if you just go outside and you find an oak tree or a pine tree, if you take off a little part of that tree, and it could be part of a leaf, the bark, any part, those are protective energies. So with all of them, gemstones, everything along those lines, if you carry them within 3 feet of your body, they work for you. If they're farther away, it doesn't mean they're not working, but they're not working for you because they're not connected to your energy, your auric field. So as long as you carry them, they will give you at least some level of protection because, you know, we always need to be safe when we're dealing with, you know, different energies and different realms. You know?
Very, very true. And I like that you do this. I like that you offer a person many possibilities, and you cross offer into many different types of magical arts, because we are all different. We resonate with different things, so you offer them a chance to try something new, but also to stick with what they're already familiar with, be it runes or crystals or whatever herbs, whatever they're familiar with, you can find a technique in what you're teaching them. And it's kind of like a cookbook in very many ways.
Exactly.
The other books.
And I was left because, we keep shadow books, which just means that we have books that we write for ourselves that basically says we tried this technique. It worked phenomenal. We're going to do this again and repeat it. And every time you repeat that formula, you get the same outcome. Then we do something where we tried it. It seemed like a wonderful idea. And I have things where I went, I am never doing that again. Those I don't put in the book.
Good.
But we try to keep track of what actually works. And some techniques come down through centuries. Some of us, because through time, I know you and I've talked about this in the past, that, through time, we're teaching a particular formula as an example or a technique that works. And then say, 10 years later, because you and I've been doing this forever, 10 years later down the road, we go, you know what? I just realized there's another part to this that I didn't see that enhances it. Now we add that on. Yeah. So we're always expanding and changing and growing. And part of that with the meditation is that it actually changes your brainwave when you're in an intuitive mode, which when you're meditating, you're in a psychic intuitive mode. So scientists tested us where our brainwave is on alpha theta brainwave levels when we're in meditation or when you and I are doing anything psychic or anybody doing anything psychic. And, we tend to laugh because we know we've been doing this for centuries, but I love when scientists just discovered it, positive feedback is always good. But I find with meditation, a lot of it is that you're achieving a higher state of consciousness, accomplishing this basically through techniques. So it deals with your subconscious mind, toning down, your conscious mind being a little bit more at peace, and your superconscious mind is really where you're getting your information because it's activated at that point because everything else, your conscious and your physical, is a little bit more towards your sleep mode. So it's getting out of the way, which is why we use techniques. It's getting out of the way to leave room for the direct information to come in from whatever your source happens to be. Yeah. So I find that once you know how to use the technique, it's funny, it's always easier than people expect because we don't do a lot of dramatic things. We're like, this is how it works. And as long as you do the steps, they always work. So it's more working with your superconscious mind. And I find some of the techniques I always find are interesting that people don't really talk about as often because they have, as an example, they have meditation, what it's called, meditation in motion. And as an example, that's like, when we do Tai Chi and we're doing Tai Chi in a slow form, which is still martial arts, but when you're doing it in a slow form, you're changing your energy and it's a form of what they consider moving meditation. They also do that with temple dancers, or they have people that have certain rhythmic dances that put them into a trance as therapy. So, and we've all heard of that. We just don't always associate it with a form of meditation. But meditation takes you out of yourself to let information come in to de-stress you. And it's very good for so many reasons because meditation is going to affect, it's going to de-stress you. It's going to have you control your conscious and your subconscious mind a little bit more. So when you can control your thoughts a little bit, you're going to reach goals easier because now you can focus differently. Okay. So part of that is that it takes that confusion.
Right, it does. In alpha and theta, you generally tend to be calmer. It's more difficult to bring negative emotions or even feelings into alpha and theta. And you know, most of those happen in beta, which is our waking consciousness.
I always look at it as we're spiritual beings living in a physical body, and we're supposed to be using all our senses, you know, the physical senses, the psychic, intuitive, so that we get some balance, we get some prosperity and joy and happiness into our lives. So I find when you use different techniques and methods, that's how you're going to attain all that. And you know, like I said, some people in meditation use mantras or visual objects or biofeedback. You know, there's all different forms. And what I like to do is I like to write different types of techniques so that somebody can try a couple and say, you know, this fits me, this does not. Because everybody at a different point connects differently, like I said, to herbs and other things. So you want to use whatever fits you at that moment. People always think there's like one standard way that's better. And there really isn't. Teachers will tell you a lot of times that their method is better than everybody else's. All that means is if their method works for you, it's great. Doesn't mean it works for everybody.
Right. Okay.
So that's why we use different techniques at different times in our lives. Because when you're very stressed, one method may work one day and it may not work the next. You might need a different one because you're stressed about a different situation. Okay. And really, the purpose really, especially for guided meditation, okay, which is basically from a spiritual teacher or a person that understands the little nuances of the different techniques of colors and water and elements, and, you know, earth, air, fire, water, ether, to bring into a guided meditation, which, of course, is different. And a guided meditation will walk you through from one point starting to the outcome that you are looking for. Mm-hmm. So, as an example, in my book, I have chapters on all different situations. And what I suggest to people is when you read about what you're supposed to be looking at and feeling and doing, I would say try to record yourself and then play back so you're not reading it at the time. Or have somebody else read it to you. Because I have things on prosperity or dropping weight or physical situations, you know, or career. Careers are very stressful to a lot of people. If you want to have abundance and financial freedom and ideas psychically, intuitively, to move up in whatever field you're in, okay, you need to be relaxed for the information to come to you. Okay? So you need to be able to, as an example, I have one in there about emotional balance. Because if you're very moody, it's very hard to focus on your job, right?
Very true. You know? And the environment that you'll be giving off and creating will not be pleasant for yourself or for other people.
Exactly. You're going to laugh. I actually have a chapter on how to change how others see you. Now, the reason I have that is because everybody, they go to work, and everybody's trying to change everybody around them. And then they wonder why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because whatever vibration you're putting out is being reflected. And if you're dealing with negative people and you're positive, they're not going to like you. You know, there's that occult law that says like attracts like. You know, negative people are not going to like positive people that much and the other way around. It just doesn't feel like you blend or you mesh. So you can't change them. But what you can change is how they perceive you, so that you can get along better with them on a job, as an example. Now, as a friend, if you're having a lot of issues because you're positive and they're negative, you know, you can work on it. But my suggestion is really get a new friend. <You know? laughs> Sometimes we have to know how to let go. And that's another thing. If somebody is like in despair, meditation helps you to move forward because we always want to move forward in life. It's not going to help you to stay in it for too long. Of course, with the situation, it doesn't mean we should not. It's not avoidable, and it's not healthy. You know, if you had a major situation in your life that's negative, you really need to acknowledge it to be able to move on. And if people are going, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, when they're not. All they're doing is delaying it, and they're not going to come out of it as quickly. So there are a lot of little ways to change pretty much any situation that you feel that you're working on. Yeah. Now, I find what's interesting is you have so many tools, because you have like gemstones, like I was saying. I have herbs, ancient oils, you know, incense, candles, mantras. There's so many different forms. But one of the things I put in there was manifesting quick money. Because if you're broke and you're starving, who are you going to help? Right?
That's very, very true. And a lot of people don't think of that. The story that you have to suffer in order to grow spiritually, although it is true that suffering can bring about enlightenment, it's not true that only suffering brings about enlightenment. And some people can suffer and not get more insightful or wiser. They sink deeper into the darkness of the situation. So changing your mind about money and things like that really helps your life in a variety of ways. And one of them being that you can accept abundance and not to think of everything that happens to you as some dark judgment that's been placed upon you by the gods or by karma.
Oh, exactly. I agree with you 100%. And I love that you're always thinking positive, by the way. I just love that with you.
Well,
and Athena.
I have a good role model. I have a Maria D'Andrea as a friend.
Well, you know, I find, too, that a lot of times when I start helping people in business, because, you know, through readings, and I'm doing readings for them, and they want to make money, they want to have abundance, but part of their belief system is that it's evil to have money or too much money, you know. And basically, you have to look at money as just energy. Everything is energy. So it's just another form of bartering. So instead of paying for something with a cow, now you're paying it with money. So it's just another form of exchange. So if you look at it like that, the more you have, the more people you can help. So that doesn't mean that you're helping others by buying them a car. What it does mean is if you have a lot of money, you might have more free time to devote some of your time to helping an organization, as an example, doing volunteer work. Or you may have a friend that needs a ride to work so that they don't get fired and they don't have a car. If you don't have a car either, you can't help. You have to look at it in the perspective. You have to look at the perspective a little bit. And, you know, when you think of it, a lot of people that are not just in business, but in analytical jobs are still working from an intuitive level when they're working on things. When you think of people like, you know, us like authors, but scientists, musicians, inventors, occultists, obviously, among others, okay, they all have that level of meditation because they're all so focused in that singular point that eventually they'll come up with an idea, or they'll come up with being at least de-stressed and being able to move forward in a positive way. Now, I found this interesting. Alexander Graham Bell, before he came up with the phone, he was very heavy into meditation. Now, I can't use his form of meditation because it won't work for me, but it might work for somebody else if they want to try.
Right.
I just found it interesting. What he used to do was he would sit in a chair, and in one hand he would hold a very heavy ball. I really don't remember what it was made of, but it was very heavy, and he would just hold his hand down next to him, straight down with the ball in his hand, sitting on a chair. And he would start breathing slowly, and he would try to get relaxed, whatever his technique was. And the way he could tell that he was now in meditation is because he couldn't hold the ball, and it would just fall out of his hand. He was that relaxed.
Wow.
So that does not work for me.
No,
but it might work for somebody else.
It might work for him, and it might work for somebody else.
Exactly. So we always come up with interesting things. And musicians and poets, and even like inventors, when you think of Nikola Tesla, they all had a point where they were tuning in within, not just looking at everything outwardly in the physical world. That's how they come up with creative ideas. Whatever source they're tuning into or into their higher self, whatever they were tuning into is how they came up with ideas. Now, people always think that if you're meditating, you should be setting a major goal, you know, having a $1 million business, which, by the way, isn't bad. But having a million dollar business, you know, right? Inventing something. But, you know, sometimes you just need that in everyday life. So as an example, what I find is when you think of homemakers, right, you would think that they're not that stressed. They're not in the world, you know, hustling on a job, you know, as an example. So people think, well, they don't have any stress. Of course they do. And one of the stress points, which I always found interesting, and it's real, one of the stress points is they could be having a wonderful day. They could be having an off day. But they're going to have a salesperson come to their door. Now, the salesperson is going to make them feel bad. They're trying to sell something. They want you to donate to some organization. You don't have the time. You don't have the money. You don't have an interest in that organization. They try to make you feel bad. Now you're stressed.
Uh-huh. Right?
So you need to be able to get rid of that stress because we don't do guilt.
Right? Very true.
So we need to get rid of that stress level, and we can very politely say, I'm sorry, I'm really not interested. I hope you do well at the next place you go to. We're not being mean and negative and argumentative. Okay.
Right.
But a really very quick technique that works every single time for everybody. So, you know, when we talk on the air, I always try to think of something people can do for themselves permanently, if they so choose. So to de-stress really, really quickly, what you would do is drop your shoulders and take three very, very slow, deep breaths. It will move you down from your stress really, really quickly. Now, you can do more than three. For some reason, less than three will not work. And it's a combination of physical and psychic, because physically, when you're breathing slowly and your shoulders are down and it's more rhythmic like that, it changes your physical being, okay? So mm-hmm. It relaxes your muscles. That's really what it does. When your muscles are very relaxed, it's harder to be stressed. And then with the breathing, you focus on that. What happens is you're getting more into an intuitive psychic mode. So you're going to be more relaxed and you're going to be more in tune. And you're going to say, you know what? I really feel bad. I would love to help the salesperson. I have no use for whatever it is. And I'm just going to wish them luck on whoever they talk to next. And honestly, they don't know what to do with you because you're calm and you're not being stressed.
Right.
So they have really nothing to work with.
Very, very true. And Marie, I don't know if you realized it or not, but you gave me a reading through some of the things you were saying. I had some synchronicities happen recently, and then I had I tend to get people telling me things, occasionally. So today the message has been repeated several times through synchronicity and through people, and you gave me the same message. So thank you. I was too busy to pay attention. I guess the universe is telling me stop for a second and pay attention.
Well, it will do that.
Yes, it does.
I always laugh because you and I have talked where, you know, we got a signal or a sign. We got a sign. And we kind of went, oh, that's cute. And by the third or fourth time it shows up, we're like, all right, we're listening.
Yeah, you got my attention now.
Yeah, it's kind of like they hit you over the head a little bit.
I remember the
you
worst
didn't get
time
the first time, right?
I got a big thing and I needed time to process it. So I was processing it, but I kind of shelved it. And for weeks, mm-hmm. the universe, every day, throughout the day, the same message would be coming through on television, on the radio, through different people talking to me, different people telling me they got a message for me. And it was the same message. So you couldn't dismiss it as something inside your head that you just let sit there for a while. It's like, all right, I got to take action on this. I can't ignore it. And it continued even when I started taking action for weeks just to let me know that it's just important.
And I think that's why one of the reasons I think you and I like the meditation state, because it opens us up for information that we probably wouldn't have known without that. Now, what I find, and I was going to ask you if you find it, I find when I meditate, sometimes I get the information during meditation, but sometimes I get it where, you know, 2 days later I'll have a dream that's an answer. Somebody's going to mention the situation, like you just said. You heard it on the radio, you heard it on TV, you saw it somewhere else. Eventually you kind of connect and go, oh, yeah, I asked.
Yeah, and that's an ancient Greek form of divination. Yeah, it was an ancient Greek form of divination. You would ask the universe a question and then just go out and listen to random conversations. And a lot of times your answer will come through random conversations. Some people do bibliomancy. They take a book, any book. They usually recommend the Bible.
Right.
You could actually take any book. You could take a comic book, a magazine, whatever you're resonating with. And flip through it when you feel to stop, stop and take your finger and put it where your finger draws you. And usually you'll get a very insightful answer to that. So, yeah, I believe in what you're saying wholeheartedly.
And I find that's really interested when you use the Bible like that or any other book. You know, because sometimes people look at it as well, if we're doing readings, we don't really need to. But that doesn't mean I don't use, like I use runes most of the time when I'm dealing, especially with businessmen, because I'll get the exact same answer without it, but now I'm going to get more detail. And I'm one of those people, I love details because I personally feel when I'm doing a reading for somebody, the more detail I can tell them, the better they can make their own decision. Because we're never telling them what to do. We're telling them the best path for that situation or the best path coming up into their lives before it comes up. And then they make their own decisions. So I find that a lot of times it just comes in as a guide. You know what I find funny too? And I'll do that like before I get into meditation, I'll pick a focus. Or if I lost something or misplaced it, and I use, you know, words of power for that. And sometimes it doesn't come up immediately. And then, I work on it. I forget about it. And then 2 days later, it'll pop up. And I already forgot that I focused on it 2 days earlier.
I love when that happens. My most extreme case of that was I was living in Forest Hills in Queens. And I had this urge to go to a Barnes & Noble store. And it was late, but this urge was there. So, you know, you follow it. So I got dressed, I walked to the Barnes & Noble, and I'm looking around trying to figure out why I'm there, and I was drawn to the bargain book bin. So I went to the bargain book bin, and I'm looking for things, and there is the title of this book that I put a cosmic order for when I was a kid, and I forgot about it because it was cosmic. And this book was there. So I picked it up. It was a couple of bucks. When I was a kid, it was too expensive for me to get. So I figured maybe there's more like this. And I went and talked to a manager. I said, do you have any more from this collection? I figured maybe somebody sold their collection or donated their collection or something. And the guy looked at his computer. He said, this shouldn't even be in the computer. I have no idea how this got here. So I paid a couple of bucks for it.
It was waiting for you.
But I forgot years ago that I'd even wanted this book so badly. But the universe didn't forget. And it delivered and it notified me. And now I have the book.
It's really funny how that works. I think sometimes the universe just has a very funny, strange sense of humor and messes with us. Usually in a good way. I find that when we're meditating, as an example, since we're talking about de-stressing, I find that a lot of times what people do, and this is normal, you know, most people will do this just because they don't know how. But they're going to be stressed, and they're going to focus on, I'm not going to be stressed. I'm done being stressed. I'm not going to be stressed. All that does is stress you more. You know, because your focus is stress, and it's inadvertent because people a lot of times just don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So I always suggest, and that's why I teach, but I always suggest that if you're in a situation when you really need to de-stress, especially when you're around other people and you need to de-stress quickly, I find the quickest, best method that works every single time is taking those 3 slow deep breaths. I mean, you could take more. Less just doesn't work. We don't know why, but it doesn't. And, you know, you drop your shoulders, but it works really quickly. So my suggestion is anybody in a stress situation at any time in their life, just try it. It works every single time. I love things that work.
In addition to your books and to your readings and the private sessions that you give to people, you also have done workshops throughout the years, and I believe you started doing workshops again.
Oh, yes, I have. So I'm doing workshops on more of a shamanic level. So I have people where we get together for the workshop, but I also do it at a distance. So if anybody's interested, they can always, you know, call me, text me. I've been really good about trying to check on email now. that has not been my strong point in the past.
With me, it's text. I'm finally checking text often. I wouldn't check the text for the longest time.
Right. So it's funny because you and I tend to go through the same cycles that are similar.
Yes.
Because, you know, so I'm finally getting to that point. You know, and it's funny because I do psychic parties like everybody else does, but I also do parties where I teach, which other people don't do. So if somebody has a group, I will actually go to them and teach as a party. Now, it's really serious. We just call it a party.
right.
You know, but what I'm also doing is I do public speaking, and with the public speaking, I travel. So when I travel, we're basically talking about spiritual, paranormal, the universe, how to work with it. I'm always focused on teaching because I find when I go somewhere and I'm listening to somebody speak and it's interesting, wonderful, wonderful people. But what happens is I go home and I don't know what to do. Okay. Now, that's just me. Everybody's different. And they're wonderful, wonderful people. And I still got a lot out of it. But I find because of the way you and I are, anytime I speak somewhere, I make sure that I tell people something that they can go home and do themselves permanently, like the music. Mm-hmm. And I know you do the same thing because you love to teach. And you're so phenomenal at it. So when
Thank
we do
you.
Public speaking, you know, and you are. And when we do public speaking, like I said, I travel. So wherever people are, if they're willing to learn, you and I are willing to teach. But I love how you teach because, again, you only teach positive. You're very, very positive, and you're very knowledgeable about so many different subjects. I love talking to you.
And like I said, I love talking to you too. Like I said, I have a good example in you because you are the most positive person I've ever met.
Oh, I appreciate that because, you know, we try. Yeah. And, you know, I always say to students when we're talking and they're talking, asking me about karma, that, and I really try to live by karma. I don't do anything negative consciously. And I'm always telling them, it doesn't mean I don't mess up. I goof
right,
up.
We all do.
It's just that it's not on purpose. So we do a lot of old whoops.
That's correct. And a lot of people believe that if you're aware of this stuff and you try to live it, that you'll never make mistakes. Or that your life will be smooth all the time. And it really isn't. Life is a learning experience for all of us. Your perspective sometimes as it evolves, it shows you that some things you handled right or you thought you handled right, you actually didn't. And you learned something new.
Right.
And that's how you grow. So,
or there's a better technique.
Right.
Oh,
and the universe talks to you all the time. The universe continuously talks to you. So as you do this type of work, you become aware of it and you listen more.
Oh, and I find you add on, you change techniques when you improve on them. Now, what I wanted to say, though, was I remember you were telling me once about, I forget the specific situation, but you were telling me once how there was something that you were teaching for a while, and it worked. And you were doing great with it. You were helping people. And I remember you always feel good helping people. I love that about you. So
Thank you. You
were helping people. And after a couple of years, you know, I think you took a little break about that particular subject and you went back to it and you realized that there was more to it. So you tweaked it. You know, you added something else on to change it a little bit to make it better. Yeah. But, you know, all along you were teaching something really positive. This was more like a notch moving up. And it's funny because no matter how much you try, that just comes on its own. It's not, you know, it's not something where we're going to go, well, let's see how much better we can do because we're already doing the best we can.
Right.
And that's with anything in life.
But I
thought that was so great that you were willing to do that because a lot of times I find when people, especially people that are in our field and teaching, you know, they have a way to do things. And even if they can improve on it, they're kind of stuck on, well, this one works. Let me not try something else. Okay. And how are we going to move up if we don't add on?
Right.
So I thought that was very impressive that you noticed that and you changed it and you added on and you moved up. I thought that was great.
Thank you. Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah. I love reading books and talking to people who can challenge what I believe or how I think. It rarely changes my mind, but I'm open to their ideas, and I sincerely consider their viewpoint. If I find that I evolve and grow, then what I say evolves and grows. And I make sure I tell my students at all my workshops or lectures or talks or whatever I'm doing that I'm sharing with them the best information I have after a lifetime of study. But one of them may say something, or somebody in the street may say something that all of a sudden will give me a wider, bigger, and more wise perspective, in which I will start teaching that, you know. But so,
exactly. I think that's very impressive that you're so open to growth, because I find we don't look at things as set in stone, partly because we do readings, so we know, you know, the universe and energy is always flowing and flexible. So, you know, we're always open to new ideas and new concepts. We're not limited to, well, this is how I've always done it, and I'm never changing it. If we find a better way, then, you know, we move on it that way. But like, I find, like, the objective with meditation is just to quiet your emotions, control your mind, and relax your physical body so you can get past your conscious and subconscious mind to your superconscious mind, and then you can tune into information. Guided. And sometimes just being quiet for a little bit, all of a sudden you'll get an idea, or 3 hours later you'll get an idea, and then people don't connect it to it because they meditated, you know. And a lot of times you're getting your answer at a different time, not during the meditation necessarily, but that's what triggered it. So I find when I read books, I'll see books on meditation that say you have to meditate for, say, 20 minutes, a half an hour, whatever it is, and the longer you meditate for hours, the better. I personally don't find that. I'm not saying that's not correct. Everybody's different. But me personally, I find with my students that if they start to meditate and in 1 hour or in 2 seconds, they feel like they're done, then they're done.
Right.
There's really no time set to it, because if you're not getting information, or at that point there isn't any information for you to get, you know, you're not going to meditate more than a minute or two or five or whatever it is, you know. And I understand that the longer you meditate, the more a lot of people feel that they get out of it. But if you relax, you relax. You don't have to meditate for like 3 days. And honestly, in our busy lives, I don't know about everybody else, but I don't have the time to sit and meditate for 8 hours when I can get the information in 2 minutes or 15, or it'll come to me in my dream or some other form because I triggered it. Apparently, my patience level is wonderful with other people, not so much with me.
That's the way it usually works.
I find the ancient methods and ours work better just because we're very with us. It's very simple, direct. You know, we just go right to the core. We're not adding on a lot of things that you don't need to add on. You know, because, you know, sometimes people add on 80 things. It looks very impressive. And it doesn't work as well as if you just use two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on what it is.
Yeah, and, I find that meditation for a minute or two does the job, and that's all I need to meditate. I don't need to sit there silently longer than that. I got what I needed and onwards.
Oh, yeah. I had this very nice student for a while, and he read a book, and it said that you have to meditate for at least 2 hours. And every couple of minutes, he'd open his eyes and look at the clock. I'm like, well, obviously it's not going to work, you know, at that time. So he was very frustrated because he kept thinking he's trying so hard, and he kept thinking he's doing everything wrong because he couldn't do it for 2 hours. But that's not how it works.
No.
You know, so he had the little alarm clock going. I felt bad. You know, he was trying so hard. Then he got the hang of it, and it didn't take him 2 hours.
Good. Now, the book that you were talking about earlier is called How to Eliminate Stress and Anxiety Through the Occult. But you've touched upon that topic in very many of your books.
Well, occult just means, as you know, occult just means ancient wisdom, hidden knowledge. It's not positive and negative. It's not religion. It's understanding nature to work with nature. So basically, it's a science. We're actually the oldest science. So I always look at it as chemistry came out of alchemy. Physics came out of what they call metaphysics. You know, it just means past your five senses. So we've always worked with that. So even though my book on getting rid of stress and anxiety is basically different meditations, they're all for different subjects. Plus, it has lists of different crystals and stones and, you know, herbs and all different things that we use in the occult, including, you know, power words. And basically, it does that because each one is a little bit different because your situation isn't always general or the same. So there's a different, you know, whether you call it a formula or a spell, there's a different one as an example for peace of mind, in which case you'd be using, as an example, you'd be using a blue candle. For an herb, you would use vervain. For incense, you'd use frankincense. For stones, you'd use soda life. You're going to end up with water. You know, so there's formulas in there. You know, but that is going to be very different than if you're doing something like, I don't know, you're working on your environment, when you're working on benefits of music, different things. If you're working on a romantic or a friendship type of relationship, okay? So different situations call for different things. And what you're doing is you're adding on tools that are in nature so that it's giving you heightened energy. And honestly, it gives you shortcuts, because it's helping you tune in quicker and in a more positive way. And then just in case, I have lists of, as an example, I have literally lists of different incenses for what purpose or different oils and for what purpose, so that people can put together for themselves what they feel that they're in tune with for that particular situation. Like if you're arguing a lot, you want to use rose, and that could be the flower, the incense, the oil, as long as it has the scent, you know. So if you're looking at the list, you can say, well, that creates more harmony. Let me use that one today. And that could be if you're arguing with somebody and you put the rose incense or the rose itself into the room after you're arguing, it clears out the negative energy that's been building in the room, because vibrationally, everybody's gone into a room or a store and it just feels comfortable and warm and you feel everybody's friendly. And then you're going to a different place and you can't wait to leave and you don't know why. The energy is going into the wall. It's holding energy. So what you're doing with the rose is you're getting rid of that negative energy in the room so that it doesn't keep building. So when somebody comes back in, it doesn't trigger an argument. So you're clearing out that negative energy from that source. So it's creating harmony. And you're doing the same thing with meditation. So there's a lot of little nuances that, you know, we've been doing it forever, so.
And of course, like interpreting your dreams, even though you could use a good dream dictionary to start interpreting your dreams, ultimately, eventually, the symbols are in you. It's the same thing with, you know, anything in the table of correspondence or any occult book. This will generally work for most people because of the associations that are built into our culture or their culture. But it might not work for everybody. I learned this. I was guiding people in visualizations and taking them to the beach. And that worked for most people. They felt very relaxed. But some people started getting phobic about sharks. They started fearing drowning. And the experience, far from being soothing to them and healing, became terrible. So I learned before I take people on guided visualization to kind of test out how different environments, how they react to different environments and symbols, because otherwise something peaceful and healing and calming could be something that causes a lot of stress.
Oh, exactly. And that's like I said, I have a list of different, you know, gemstones and oils and things, because this way, sometimes people, when they're trying to decide what's going to make them feel better at that time, because a month later, a year later, it could be something else. They can look at it and say, okay, I'm comfortable with this at this time. You know, like a rose. They're comfortable at this time. They may not be comfortable with it 8 months before or a month later. Mm-hmm. But this way, they can kind of put together things for themselves, not just, I like when they're depending more on themselves. That's why you and I like to teach. But I do have meditations in here where, like I said, there's no need to memorize everything. They can have a friend read it to them, or they can make a recording themselves. I realize that you can do that on the phone. I don't know how, but I know you can do it. Electronic things tend to blow up on me. I told you before, I've gone through so many toasters because I was psychically high and I touched it. Uh-huh. I've gone through so many, I should own stock.
I stopped wearing watches when I was a teenager because the watches would start going backwards or operating on a different time scale than other watches. So I stopped wearing them at a certain point.
Yeah, we get different side effects, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes when we're doing readings, we're tuned in. And, you know, people just assume you're just talking to them because they're not seeing anything visual with us.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, every now and then, like I said, I use runes to get details. But we get the same information with or without it.
Right.
So I always laugh because I was talking to some younger people years ago, you know, teenage. And, you know, and I was saying, you don't have to pay for drugs. You do some, you learn how to do things psychically. It's like being high for free.
Right.
Because, you know, your brain waves shift. And I love that scientists can test that, you know, can test that. It's kind of like getting positive feedback about something you've already been doing. Acknowledgement is good. Confirmation is good.
And you could tap into your dopamine levels in your brain, and that gives you that feeling, you know. And yeah, you're right. You don't have to do drugs. I used to tell that to people in my high school that I could just go inside my head. I don't really need to any external substance.
Right.
You know, I could just go into my head, and there I am, you know, euphoria.
You have to laugh, though, you know, but it's true. It's absolutely true. So it's kind of a different wave, like, you know, the different brain waves. I find when I'm doing readings all day, what happens with me is I can't drive for a while because I see, if I get in my car, I see the car in front of me. I don't know where it is. It could be 2 feet in front of me or 2 miles. I can't tell. So I've learned when I'm doing a lot of readings, you know, in a row or, you know, throughout the day, I've learned I do not get into my car to drive. It takes me a while.
Now, we're close to the end of the show, and I do want you to think about, I'm giving you a show that's all yours, so it's not Major Sages and Seers. It can be whatever you want to talk about, and although I love talking to you, and I know you enjoy talking to me, you can talk to other people too. So you can invite guests, and you can have you know, the show the way you conceive it. I've been feeling very, very strongly to offer you that, so I just figure I'll go ahead and do it. So think about what you'd like to do with the show.
Okay, and thank you so much for thinking of me like that.
Well, you're awesome, and you're very positive, and you're a fountain of information on a lot of various metaphysical and occult topics. So why wouldn't I?
Oh, thank you. Well, like I said, I love talking to you, and I love working with you because, you know, you, like I said, you're so knowledgeable, and what I like is that you love teaching people and helping people. It's not, you know, all about you, because a lot of people in any field, when they're really good at what they do, all of a sudden it's all about them. They miss how they got there. You know what I mean? So I love that you're always trying to help people and you're so positive. You know, and I'm so glad that you and Athena had a great holiday and a great birthday. And please tell her I send my love. She's such a positive force, you know, love force. It's just all that positive energy. And I love the way the two of you are. We need more of that on this planet.
Thank you.
We really
and
do.
I will tell her. And I appreciate you very much, Maria. You're so positive consistently. And it's really an inspiration, and it's really a good influence on everybody who knows you. Because I know several people who know you now, and they've said nothing but great things about you, you know, consistently throughout, you know, all the time I've known them. And
I appreciate that.
Stories they tell me as well as from my own experience. So you're always welcome up there.
Well, I appreciate that. You know what it is? It's like you and I do the best we can to try to help people. I have no idea what anybody notices or says. So I really appreciate the feedback.
Well, they notice you and they appreciate you. That's a really good thing, and they have great stories to tell about you. Now, we only have a couple of minutes before we have to wrap up today's conversation. So if you can let people know how they can contact you, and also what is new and exciting and how they could tap into that. And anything you send me by email or by text, now that I'm looking at text, I'll gladly support it for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all my books are on Amazon at the moment. So they just need to put my name in. I'm somewhere in there. A lot of books. So most of them are just me. Some of them are co-authored, but with wonderful people, by the way. You know, so they just need to get on Amazon if they want. What I'm doing recently, more than anything else, because I always do readings, but what I'm doing is I'm doing workshops and I'm teaching, and I can teach at a distance, and I'm doing public speaking more where I'm teaching and talking about spiritual things and basically how to improve your life in different ways. So if anybody's interested in having me as a speaker, I do travel. So if they want to get in touch with me, my cell number, so they can text me and call me, it's 631-559-1248. My email address, I finally got the hang of this, by the way, email. So my email address is my first initial last name. So it's mdandrea100@gmail.com. And my website is just myfirstandlastname.com. And probably in the next month or two, I may have somebody that's going to be updating my website, because the gentleman that was doing my website a couple of years ago got busy, and he basically said he didn't have any time to do mine anymore because he was busy with other things. So everything on there that it says that I do, I still do. Nothing ever changes. We just add on. It's just that it's not updated. But everything is still the same. It's still valid.
And I recommend you very highly to anybody who wants to check you out. And I know one of our hosts had expressed an interest in interviewing on their show. I don't know if they contacted you yet or not, but if not, I will forward you the information and you guys can make the connection.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. That would be really nice.
Any last words you'd like to leave with our listeners before we wrap up?
Well, I did want to say that if anybody would like to try out the breathing method, because it works every single time in stress, you can always let me know how you did with that. But either way, my suggestion is try that out. You take at least three very slow deep breaths. You drop your shoulders. It will immediately tone down stress. And the more you breathe, the, you know, of course, the stress will lower more and more. But it will work immediately. So, you know, any way I can help other people, try that.
And the computer voice says we have 90 seconds. So thank you very much, Maria. You are awesome. And I look forward to our next conversation. And thanks to our wonderful listeners, whether you called in and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Maria.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.